a few times, but ladies first, so come on up here.
You never know. I don't want to fall on my face. I'm so short. I'm Steph from an attic.
Hey, Steph.
I'm knocking everything over. Stay there. Okay, this is Death and Recovery. And I got a phone call this week asking me if I wanted to speak. Somebody else was asked before me, and he said, if they don't speak, will you? And you can pray about it and get back with me. And I said, I don't need to go to God when it's the right thing to do. So it's an honor and a privilege to be standing here, but it's probably the worst place to be standing for me. I was talking to Parrish, and I said, what a way to carry out my husband's honor. He was a member of Narcotics Anonymous for 9.5 years and was very involved in it. I've had a lot of experience with death and recovery. I hope some of you don't find this to be too comical, but I have buried a total of 5 dogs and a husband and a couple of friends in Narcotics Anonymous. My main focus today is basically just speaking on the deaths that I've experienced from January 2019, and how I'm surviving my emotions through that. I had buried 3 dogs and a husband in that process, and that's seems to be what I keep my focus on right now is losing my husband back in August of 2020. I'm going to read out of the basic text. One, it makes me feel better, and two, I like to share what our literature has to say. Because I had this idea when I first came in the room of when you get clean, everything's going to be better. And recovery does not exempt us from pain. And this is out of It Works, How and Why. Recovery doesn't exempt us from having to live through painful situations. That's distracting. Okay, it's a good song. At some point, 33.
Sorry. I did forget
to announce.
Turn your cell phones off, please.
Okay, let me get my mindset here. Recovery doesn't exempt us from having to live through painful situations. At some point in our lives, we may have to mourn the death of a loved one or deal with the end of a relationship. When such things happen to us, we hurt, and no amount of spiritual awareness will take our pain away. We do find, however, that carrying presence of a loving power greater than ourselves will help us get through our pain. We may find that we are able to feel our higher power's presence in the group, in our friends, or in talking to our sponsor. By tapping into that power, we begin to trust and rely on it. We can cease questioning why painful things happen and trust that walking through the difficult times in our lives can strengthen our recovery. We can grow in spite of our pain or perhaps in response to it. I don't have a magic formula of how I stay clean in Narcotics Anonymous. I don't have anything really special that you guys don't already know of how I stay clean walking through what I'm walking through, other than I become part of the we. And I did that early on in recovery, and I have been able to, I've had surgery in recovery and a whole lot of other things that I don't want to get into because it gets us off this topic, but it's the same formula no matter what I walk through that I apply in my life, no matter what the difficulty is. Going back to school, making new friends, losing friends, deaths. I filed for a divorce before my husband died, so I was going through that grieving process. And it's becoming part of the we. You know, you guys say, we do this, so I do this. You know, I admitted that my life is powerless and unmanageable. And there's no way in this world, no matter how much clean time I get, that I can manage my life again. So it requires that higher power, and it requires you all. And what I had read in the book is, you know, you stay close to your sponsor, you stay close to your friends in recovery. I have no problem coming into my home group and telling you all I'm struggling. I'll have 12 years clean June 28th, and I still have yet to feel like I'm superior in this process where I don't need to tell you all that I'm hurting. I'm going to be honest about the fact that problems are difficult, solutions are easy. You know, so I don't ever want to stand up here and tell you all that I don't struggle with depression, and I don't struggle with the thoughts of using, and I don't struggle sometimes with thinking I don't need you all. And those thoughts, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that those thoughts don't come in my mind. Today, this is hard, not just because I'm speaking on my husband, but he's come to this convention with me every time I've been here. This is my first one without him. I was talking to a guy yesterday that I had met, and I told him I was speaking on death and recovery, and he went, wow, I'm staring at strength. And I was like, no, I've cried in the parking lot. I've cried in my room. I sit here and listen to Focus on Early Recovery, and it's not the topic, and it's not the speakers, and they did a great job, but I sat there by myself, and I thought, I've never attended a convention without him. So there's nothing about me that's strong. I put myself in the middle of the boat, and I let my friends carry me, and I let my higher power carry me, and I'm part of the we, so no matter what, we don't use. And it says in our basic text, for those who's reading along with us, it's on page 102, it says, no matter how painful life's tragedies can be for us, one thing is clear. We must not use no matter what. I've had those moments getting up and trying to get ready for work, and I have to pick myself up out of the bathroom floor, and I'm crying out because all I want to do is get high. I don't want to feel the pain. I go to meetings. I'm honest about where I'm at. I've learned in recovery that when I walk through pain, and this didn't happen immediately, I was talking to a girl just a few minutes ago, I learned to see it as a gift today, and it even talks about it in our literature. I'll read it here in just a minute. It didn't feel like a gift when it first happened. He was murdered, so I've got a murder trial coming up in April, so I didn't just bury him and get to move forward. There's court dates, there's motion hearings. I've been in court 6 times in 2021. I've got to go back at the end of this month. We've got a trial in April. So, I mean, it's constant. I'm constantly having to relive it. I was 10 years clean when this happened. And I remember sharing with my home group, not what better person for this to happen to, but thank God I had some solid recovery. And I had a great foundation and some step work and service positions for this to happen to me at 10 years clean. Because I don't think I could handle this at 30 days. I mean, maybe I could, but it's not my experience, so I can't stand up here and tell you all that. I lost one of my dogs at 11 months clean, and I remember how hard I struggled with that. But I can look today as pain being a gift, even though it hurts really, really bad. It says we grow through pain and recovery and often find that such a crisis is a gift, an opportunity to experience growth by living clean. the only way this is a gift for me is, one, grief in itself is the amount of love that I have for a person. I truly believe that's the level of grief that we experience is the level of our love. And love is our number one spiritual principle in this program. And I look at it as a gift because I don't know if I would know my higher power as well as I do today if I didn't walk through my pain. I still scare myself. See, I'm not afraid of you all. Somebody said it's getting full in here, and I said, pack it in. I don't care. I know what I'm capable of still today. And I was talking to a lady that had just lost her husband, and I told her I surround myself with people that love me, and I surround myself with people that's lost loved ones. I said, because I'm afraid of what I can still do today. I'm still defected. I am still carrying a lot of anger. I'm still carrying a lot of pain. I'm still carrying a lot of depression. I'm still carrying a disease of addiction that says nobody will ever understand you. And because my head sometimes will make it different. You know, he was murdered. You don't know what it feels like to have somebody murdered. I can't do that. And so when those thoughts come into my mind, I have to tell myself, you can't look at the differences. Look at the similarities, like we tell newcomers when they come in the rooms. Don't look at, I use this drug and you use this drug, or I come from this family and you come from this family. That's going to keep me sick. And so I take the same principle and apply it to this. Death is death, period. It doesn't matter. Losing a loved one is difficult because we loved them. I've also learned that grief can change a person fairly quickly. I still struggle today trying to find myself. I met Sam, that's my husband. I met him when I was 24 years old. I'll be 44 Monday. And so I've spent half my life with him. And I've struggled just trying to figure out who I am without him. I've struggled getting back to what I know I enjoy and being consistent with it. I love to work out. I'm one of those health nuts. I love to work out. I love getting on that healthy plan and of just eating right and feeling good. And ever since he's passed, it's like I can do it for 2 or 3 weeks, and then I don't care anymore. And then I'll get back on track, and then I don't care anymore. So I struggle with being consistent again. I struggle with the discipline that I know that I'm great at. So trying to find myself has been very interesting. It's hard to... It's hard to live life without him. But I'm doing it, and I'm staying clean, and I'm loving myself through it, and I know I'm good enough. There's a few things, not what the program's taught me, but, you know, just what I've learned through spiritual connection with God. He did cheat on me, so I struggled with a lot of insecurities, and I bought me a ring because I don't know how to not wear a wedding band. I bought me a ring right after he got killed. It says, I am enough. And I remember going into the rooms, my home group, and I was sharing with people, if I'm going to believe in that, I need to act like it. And today I can. At times I was fooling myself because I was struggling so bad. But today I know I'm enough. And I know I'm already okay. I don't always feel it. I have a member of my home group that I highly look up to, and he always says, you're already okay. And I think, I don't feel like it, though. But it's the truth. And I'm going to be okay. And I don't have to use over this. Nothing's easy. And you guys know that. You know, we get clean, and that's the simple part. But even just staying clean and trying to figure out how to take a shower on a daily basis, how to go to work, how to just correspond with other people, you know, can be a challenging at times. So you guys actually, you know, we already have all the tools. It just, I apply it like I said before, I apply it. Same thing. There's no special formula when death rolls around. There's no special formula when I went back to school. There's no special formula when I had surgery. It's the same basic principle. And I become part of the we. And I've never let go of that. Never let go of that. Because what the we does, I was talking about looking at differences. And what the we is, it's part of our anonymity. When I become part of the we, then I quit making myself different. Because recovery is possible for any of us. It doesn't matter where you came from, your background. It doesn't matter what death you've experienced. You know, we're all equal in here. And that's something that I can definitely tell you that I struggle with every now and then. There's times that my mind will tell me I'm better than because of my clean time. And I'm like, nope. I was listening to a girl share at the, it was focused in early recovery, and I loved her perspective. She was saying that she was applying the same principles in addiction, and she just had to do a 180 and apply them in recovery. And I've always told my sponsees that struggle with believing, I'm like, come on, you've practiced belief since day one. You believed the dope would get you high. You believed in the Easter Bunny. You believed in Santa Claus. You know, so I thought it was pretty cool how she was saying that. And I'm saying the same thing no matter what I walk through. The solution's the same. You know, problems are difficult. Problems are messy. Solution is simple. But yeah, with grief in the beginning, I'm going to tell you I couldn't concentrate on anything. I had to go back to work. I didn't have that privilege of taking 6 weeks or 8 weeks off or whatever and mourn. I had to immediately go back to work. And I remember talking to my boss, and I said, you know, I'm just wasting your money. Because I would come to work and just stare at a computer screen. I had nightmares for probably the first 8 months. I struggled to stay clean. That seems to still be my go-to. I've definitely lost my desire to use, but those thoughts come back that that's still my solution. It was difficult. And I do get frustrated. I do get frustrated because I share this stuff in my home group all the time. And I love my home group members. Actually, I've got a support group right here with them. And I want to see people stay clean. And I see a lot of people relapse that have sit and listened to me for the last 2.5 years share my struggle. And I've got another girlfriend. She lost her dad the same month I lost my husband. And so we're in there and we're crying together. And I've got a real good friend that just lost her dad. And we're staying clean. But I see those that they're there, but they're not taking the tools that we're sharing. And they're using over chips and dip at a restaurant or, you know, something silly. And it does, it gets so frustrating. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, it's not just I lost my husband and I buried a dog or anything like that. It's that process of filing for a divorce. I'm telling you guys, when you want to be with somebody and you know it's not good for you and you have to put that boundary up. I mean, the whole process. I just wanted to get high every step of the way. And, you know, so I have my frustrations. I don't think anybody that lives a spiritual life is exempt from pain. I had a member, she had all good intentions, and she did ask me, she said, am I making you mad? And I said, no. But she kept telling me, you just need to accept it. And it's like, I accept it. That doesn't mean that I don't still feel fear, and I don't still struggle, and I don't still feel pain. I feel all of those. Those don't take away my emotions. It just gives me a solution to move forward and stay clean and stay healthy. I do believe in order to grow spiritually, you got to be broken. I mean, early in recovery, I said the same thing. It's learning how to... Basically, it's learning how to not get rid of everything I learned because I love what my parents have taught me over the years. Matter of fact, I've grabbed some of those morals and values back and started practicing them in my life. But I had to be broken in order to be rebuilt. And that's how I look at any time we go through a crisis in recovery and how we grow through our pain. You know, my mess and can be somebody's message. If I stay clean and I share the solution in it. There's a couple more things that I was wanting to tell you. Oh, I've learned over the last year and a half, it's been almost a year and a half, I can let grief destroy me, define me, or develop me. And as an addict, if I'm not in recovery and not applying the principles, I can let grief destroy me. I can choose to go that route where we numb the pain and we avoid our family and friends and isolate ourselves. And I see it. I see it all the time. I'm kind of stuck in the define and develop. I know to become a strong person, know to rely on God and live in His will and move forward. But it seems like everything I do right now is all about Sam. If you have a conversation with me today, he's going to be part of it somewhere in that conversation. I do want to, not that there's anything wrong with that, but I do want to grow past that where I'm not the widow. I don't want to be the widow the rest of my life because there's so much more to me. I am enough. and so, you know, grief is messy. It's ugly. I feel like it kind of sticks with me, becomes part of me, but it doesn't have to destroy me. So I am in the learning process that, you know, I'm still grieving his absence, but I'm still realizing that I'm here for a purpose. I'm here for a reason. I'm up here speaking to you guys about grief. I'm hoping you are listening. I'm hoping that you don't think that you have to walk out of here and because a guy doesn't treat you right or a girl doesn't treat you right or you lose a friend or you lose a parent that you have to go out and get high because you don't. I'm living experience. Parrish is living experience. Julie's living experience. We can do this together. We can stay clean. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. Just one more thing I was going to read, and I don't know what my time is. I was going to lay my phone out and everything else and just totally forgot about that. The biggest thing for me is whatever pain we experience will pass. Through prayer, meditation, and sharing, we keep our minds off our discomfort and have the strength to keep our priorities in order. It is important. Sorry, I'm supposed to wear glasses. It is imperative to keep NA members close to us at all times, if possible. It is amazing how our minds can go back to our old ways and our old thinking, and you'd be surprised how much pain we can handle without medication. I don't want to turn this into a medication thing, but I had to take something very, very, very small. It was not narcotics or habit forming or anything like that. But I couldn't close my eyes and not, I didn't see the crime scene, but my mind sure did have all these ideas of what went down. And when I would close my eyes, I couldn't sleep at night. So for about a month, I'd taken something that helped with depression. And I didn't like that. My doctor, he constantly wants me to get back on it. And it's very surprising what I can go through and not have to take anything. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. It's just how I am in recovery because I was highly addicted to all that kind of pain medication and all that kind of... Just, I was highly addicted. I walked into treatment trying to come off of that stuff. And so I'm terrified of it. I can say it today. My mind still says it doesn't make sense, but I know in my heart this happened for a reason. This happened for a reason. He did go back out to use. His girlfriend shot him. And I've had a lot of really, really close people tell me, you dodged something. You dodged something big. I know it don't feel like that, but this all happened for a reason. And so I hold on to that. I hold on to what you all tell me. I hold on to the people that I admire and what they say to me, and I listen to that. I don't always feel it, don't always agree with it, but I do know it's truth, and I know it's coming from a place of love. Recovery is the best gift in my life. The best gift in my life. Sam was 44 years old when he got killed. And, you know, grief does stupid things. But it's like I'm turning 44 on Monday, and I don't want to be 44. And it's not the age, because it's like, come on, let's just go ahead and be 45. I don't want to be 44, and I haven't figured out exactly what it is. Maybe it's an avenue of grief. I don't know. Maybe it's part of my disease. I have no idea, but it's like I'm dreading being 44. But you guys will get me through it. You'll get me through it. That's all I have. I really appreciate y'all coming out and supporting. I didn't think this would be big. You know. I thought with it being 9:15 that, you know, those newcomers would still be in bed. My sponsee is upstairs still in bed. Love you all.
Thanks, Steph. Your turn.
John Benetti. Now, I've known Parrish a while. And I'm sure he's got an amazing story because he's been through a world of shit here lately. So I'll give you Parrish.
Welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. We program. I want to say thank you to everybody that showed up today and participates in their recovery. It's been a tough journey to get me where I am, but y'all brought me here. That frog wasn't in there a minute ago. I can honestly say I love the people of Narcotics Anonymous. Y'all are family to me. Y'all have loved me when I have been on this journey to learn to live life without blood family. And I've learned that family in Narcotics Anonymous is better than blood family. Y'all may not get that yet. But I promise if you stick around and stay, you will. Steph said something before she went down. That Monday the 5th, I'm sorry, today's the 5th. That Monday the 7th, she turns 44 years old. Thank God, Steph, that you're still here. Because that day that she turns 44, I'm going back home to bury a lifelong friend. Man, you talk about, I don't even know how to say it. But when you're friends with somebody lifelong, that's a long life. For me, when you get as old as I am. I too am a widower. That's what they call us men, widowers. A little over 5 months ago, I lost a woman that I've been married to almost 32 years. Part of my addiction was halfway through our marriage, it started back over again. And I'm very thankful that I came back to a program that loved me enough to help me realize, even in the balance of life, when I had to learn all over life again, I am learning life all over again today, because it's been, like I said, 5.5 months. So I'm really a darn newcomer to this program without somebody. And that may seem odd to y'all that I would say it like that, but 18 days from now, she will have been gone 6 months. So I ain't gonna pick up no 6 month key tag. Don't get me wrong in what I'm saying. But I'll be 6 months in 18 days without my wife. And it's a beautiful process when you got people in this program that cares enough about you to say, how are you? No, how are you really doing? And they look you in the eye and you can feel the intensity of the love. See, a lot of times we are spirits walking through this journey to me. And that spiritual body, this body that this spirit is in, is connected to each one of you, some greater than others. And there's a spirit inside of each one of you. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. This was told to me. The spirit ain't got no color. You can believe that if you want to. And I'm going to get a little spiritual on you, because something that I experienced during this journey, I got to do, and I will tell you, for my wife, as she passed on while my kids were there. I don't know if my daughter's even in here or not. I hope she's in bed asleep. As we went to lay her down in her final resting place, I was from here to that step right there, from the doves that they had in a box. And I don't know if y'all ever been to a ceremony like that, but when they released those doves, it got real spiritual, because I'm letting something go that belongs to me. There was a whole, there were 7 of them flew out the first time. Those 7 represented everybody that's gone before. The next one that was to represent was my wife that was leaving. And I'm going to tell you something. When they released them 7, the pitter-patter of them wings as they thrust it out of there to be free was very powerful. I felt it. And they said, that's all the loved ones that's gone before. And I could see her mother and all the family that I've lost while I've been in that family. But when they released her and the pitter-patter of them wings began to flatter and fly away, they was more powerful than all 7 of them together, it seemed to me at that time. My daughter stood beside me, my oldest daughter, and she said, this is too soon to have to go through something like this. I grieved a little bit when I felt that, and I told her to go home to be with her family, that I was releasing her. I had peace at that moment that passes all understanding, y'all. You wanna know why I'm doing so well with this? Because of all of y'all that are standing here today, or sitting here today with me as I go through this journey to take you what I just went through. To pass along with that, I lost my brother, I lost my sister, I lost my yearly or lifelong Sunday school teacher way back when I was a kid. All 3 of them in 2 weeks after I lost my wife. Y'all think I'm pretty strong, like somebody said. Man, I'm telling you, I don't know how I make it through it. Because I look good on the outside, y'all. But I tell people, I said, I'm a train wreck on the inside. I say that to say this. Feelings will pass. I got y'all to rely on as somebody I love and truly care about. If you don't know me, get to know me. Let me be a part of your life, because I need you. I need everybody here. I need all the people in Narcotics Anonymous. Worldwide fellowship that I come to know cares about each other in this program. Here's your message today. Don't use, because we love you. Just for today, I'm going to get another day, because I can look out here and see the love that is in this one little room right here. And this is a big room, really, if you really want to know the truth. A lot more people here in this meeting tonight or today than there was in the first one I went to when I was trying to grasp what Narcotics Anonymous was all about. But to carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous, any addict can lose that desire, find a new way to live in Narcotics Anonymous. Just don't use. That's the message. I got a little twisted because my mind's a little twisted. Y'all see that, don't you? It's hard to think sometimes when you don't have a real brain that isn't fogged up. We had COVID, and that COVID messed my head up a little bit. Hi, baby doll. I love you. I love you too, Roger. Oh, mercy.
Golden baby doll.
There you go. She knows I love her or she wouldn't be here, you know. And y'all know I got four kids, most of you that know me. I got four beautiful kids. I was blessed with something. But I will tell you this, and we'll be moving on, that at one time in my life when I was a young man, I did not want to have no kids. Sorry, baby, you had to hear that. That's the truth. I mean, the truth is I'm telling it because if I would have had my way to show you how powerful this journey is, I would have nobody because she was all I had. But I got four beautiful kids out of that relationship. So I'm going to stick around and I'm going to stay clean. I'm going to try to get another day today. I promise you, I won't use today. And chances are tomorrow's looking pretty good too. Because they told me early on, whatever you do for your recovery today, I promise you, if you're doing something for recovery today, tomorrow, you know, you're going to wake up and do the same thing again. You're going to try to do something tomorrow. Man, I want y'all to know, just for today, that's all we got. Because any of us, okay, here it is. All of us, when we leave this meeting today, it'll never be the same. Because I promise you, there'll be somebody else different walk up in here. I promise you. If y'all said, come on, Paris, you're going to speak again, there'll be somebody different come in here. And some of them say, I ain't going back to hear that guy again. He don't know what the heck he's talking about. I didn't like what he had to say, but that's okay. Because it's my turn to say it. You know? And in Narcotics Anonymous, we all get a turn. And y'all promise you, if you stick around here, you might get picked to do what we got picked to do today. Or someday. You know, it just might not be today. But my hat's off to everybody that is here today because you choose that you want to just get another day. And that's all we got to choose is that choice to say, I just ain't going to use today. Steph said it. Hey, them feelings inside of me, man, Steph poured it on me, buddy. I'm telling you right now, that girl right there, she's got something in recovery. And she's going to keep coming back. And y'all felt that because I felt it. And I'm telling you, that blood that was pumping through me, it was going so fast my heart was padding. I was like, well, you better slow down in here because you don't know what's going to happen. My heart might not be good enough to take it. No, I say that to say this. Be careful what we say. Here's another experience that I had about 4 years ago. Had another brother that was going to make it to 50. He said, if you don't come and see me, he said, I promise you, I'm going to die before I'm 50. 14 days before he turned 50, he left. That's a fact. I mean, he said it, I didn't, but I know from experience, whatever you say is powerful. So help me not to say nothing that could shorten my days, that man up there wants me to be here. And I count every day a gift. I promise you that too. And I don't even know where I'm going with this, but I can honestly say that I've learned to sit down and take it a whole lot easier than what I used to. And I'm going to enjoy life a whole lot more now. Don't take that the wrong way. When I say that, y'all don't know me. Well, maybe you do. If you knew me before, I was one of those addicts that wanted to work all you can, just get it from daylight till dark, hard. And I figured out something about that. And here's why I figured this out. That everything that I put together to work for on my best days to accumulate and to be where I am today came from Narcotics Anonymous. But as I did that, having Narcotics Anonymous in mind. It's been real productive. But I say that to say this, that everything that I have today, I cannot trade it for what I've lost in recovery. So if it was just for a day, would I trade it? No, I'm going to be thankful. I would tell you, yes, I would like to trade it and give it all up, but I know that's not possible. But in my heart, I want it back, but it ain't coming back. All the times that I used, they ain't coming back. There's nothing back there worth going back to. My mentor told me, he said, when you look at what you did, all that stuff is burned up. It ain't nothing but ashes. It's gone. He said, and you got to let all that stuff go. And that was a beautiful process because it was part of my healing process. Because, you know, sometimes we want to recreate it. I learned that in here. We want to do things different. Oh, yeah, I could use a different way. It don't work. Using's using no matter what it is. I promise you, y'all, if you ain't figured that out yet, keep coming back. Don't leave no matter what. You know, don't let somebody in here run us out of here. Because I promise you, they loved me enough. They said some things about me too, but I don't care about all that. I go to somebody else and just say, look here what they said about me. You believe that? It don't matter if they believe that. If I believe that what they said don't matter, it just don't matter. That's all that matters. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting a little bit off of key here. But maybe that just needed to come out of me. You hear what I'm saying? Because sometimes this old head here, it gets a rolling around up there. Half of y'all wouldn't want to be up in here, I promise you. Well, no, wait a minute. The other half is up in here, okay? I'm just saying I love all y'all today. And I know that I'm like, Steph, what time is it? Hold on a minute. I brought mine up here with me. Y'all hear that?
10:03.
Holly, bum. Time goes fast, y'all.
When you get old.
Enjoy what time we got left. Here's what I'm telling you. We never know when it is our turn. And I can tell you this. If you stick around here and give me a chance to love you, your life may even change. Because I know mine will when I get to know you. Because I really believe that you will believe that I care enough about you that you'll see that I want the best for y'all. Because I know these people sitting in here in these seats because they're up here right now and all back through there that want the best for me or they wouldn't have showed up. Because they've done heard me share a few times. Sometimes it don't always go the same way you want it to go. But I'll tell you this, I didn't write none of this down. I promise you. It comes from right here because of what y'all gave me. Make sure y'all carry a clear message. I said, okay, I think I can do that. How do you do that? How do you carry a clear message? Narcotics Anonymous. I picked a fellowship. I'm just saying. I did a little bit of this and a little bit of that when I first came into recovery. Worked steps here, worked steps there. But I didn't realize if I just pick one will be good enough. Because we say in here one is too many. And 1,000's never enough. But one fellowship, as big and as strong and as powerful as this one is, I don't need nothing else. Because I can work a program that's in this fellowship that'll cure everything that's wrong with me. And trust me, y'all don't know it, but there's a lot wrong with me still yet. Because I still think things, and I still act certain ways that I probably ain't proud of. And y'all probably ain't proud of either if you watch me. But any of y'all going to come up and say something? No, y'all be just over there and praying for me. Because, man, look at what he just done. Hey, ain't none of us perfect. Like I said, we all get a turn to make a mistake. But I know y'all will be there to help me through whatever challenge comes, whatever mistake I make, no matter what it is. You know, I made some real friends in here. I've had a few that wasn't so good. But you know what? If you work at anything, anything can change if you'll let it. There's something else I'm going to tell y'all, but it ain't came up here yet. It just ain't got there. Sometimes you got to take a break. I know what it was. I was going to get really worked up, have some of these tears come down. No, I didn't think that one out. I did just then. It sounded pretty good because I got some feelings inside of me that I get to share with somebody that'll help me get through what I'm going through. Because don't think this old boy can't cry. And don't think because I'm a man or any man, when a man cries or a woman, that it ain't supposed to come out. It's supposed to come out. And they told me that when them tears come out, that's growth. I said, why do I cry all the time in recovery? I mean, I'm sitting here going around here crying about all this stuff. And they said, Parrish, you ain't seen that yet. I said, no, I ain't. Tell me why I can't stop crying. This is true. They said, you got some growth going on in there. So I tell the newcomers that. I said, whenever you feel all these feelings, just sit down and relax. Somebody else shared about them feelings. It's good to have them feelings because before, y'all know we didn't have no feelings. I know some of you are laughing about that. And that the ones that are laughing are like, yeah, that's true. You know, but if you don't know that, just keep coming back because I promise you those feelings that you get to feel are just ordered because your head ain't clouded with that stuff that we used to put in our body not to feel or for whatever reason that we could block those. Yeah, that stuff blocks them. You know, and we always say whenever we get over it or whatever, here they come back again. That's true too. But we're going to go right and you know what we're going to do? Today I'm going to feel them feelings and y'all's job is to help me carry it myself through all that. Because that's why I'm up here today. And there's a few more other people. I don't think I said this. Not just with what Steph's going through, but today, the fifth day of February, I buried my best friend a year ago from today because he had cancer. And when you lose somebody that's close to you, he was close to some of y'all too because he was one of us. And he made a decision to try this. And so my best thing was to make sure that he wanted to stick around and keep coming back and be a part of my life, you know. And with that being said, if we can influence just one somebody to do what we're doing together, they ain't got to get it right. Because Lord only knows, when I first came in this program, I was ready to fly out of here and I was going to go back to doing what I'd done. But somebody sat down and said, just stay. I said, okay, even though my head was telling me as soon as I get all this stuff, the consequences, I'm going to go back and do it all over again because I'm just that dumb. Because that stuff makes you dumb. I mean, to me it does. Y'all might not, some of y'all might not think so, but I promise you it made me real dumb because I don't want to give it any credit, but it's just the way it is, you know. Today, don't use no matter what, no matter who. In spite of what my head is trying to tell me to do, that I don't need to be telling you that today. And y'all going to help me get another day. Today, and we're going to go in tomorrow, because I know we're going to have some more stuff to do tomorrow here before we leave and get out of here. I don't even want to leave this place, y'all. I don't know if y'all know how much it means to me, but Narcotics Anonymous people in this building right here, as many times as we've been, every one of them things right there I've been to. I don't know, there's a few of them over there that I hadn't. But you see that one as you're going out the door. That was 2011. My sponsor took me in here and he showed me that one. He showed me his, which was the very first one. He said, I got right off the bus. And I don't know where that one's at because I looked for it today. He said, that was when I first got here. This is when you got here. He said, don't ever forget that one. I said, boy, I made some memories, and I didn't want to forget it. It made me want to come back again. I said, I'm going to set that date for February next year. I'm coming back because y'all done showed me some love. So y'all get some numbers, y'all newcomers. Get it just for today. I got a friend that's in this program. He's trying to get everybody's darn number in this building. So if y'all ain't met him yet, y'all come up here and meet me, and I'll introduce you to him, and he'll get your number. And you can put it in that book. It's his book. He can do whatever he wants to with it, you know. Even though I don't agree with it, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I started out doing that too. And that was a good way to get. And by the way, I found that daggum book that I thought I lost.
Right.
I had to sell my camper to get it. I said, y'all know when we get in this thing, we start thinking things. I want to change a few things. I'm going to do some things different. I need to get rid of my camper. Man, y'all don't know, I love camping. And it's 6 months from now, we got a camping event coming up. Now what the heck am I going to do? I don't know. Sometimes we don't think things through when we're doing it. But I said, you know what? It's okay. My nephew wanted it. He can have it. I give him everything in it. When I found that book, I was there just for the day book. I found that thing. I said, oh, my God. Boy, you can just take everything. I'm not kidding you. You know, we give stuff away in here. And if I've said anything today that you can take with you, you go on and take it. Because it's yours to take and give to somebody else. It ain't mine to keep. I'm just sharing it what I believe, you know. And I love all y'all. And that's all I got.
I'm John Minetti.
John.
You said that people talk about you. Can you imagine what they say about me?
Yeah, baby.
You know, when you said that, I'm like, you hear what they say. Let's close this out.